Welcome to Legal Aid Matters, a podcast from LAF, the largest provider of free civil legal services to low-income Chicagoans. On the show, we'll introduce you to the advocates who stand up for our clients, discuss how events in the news impact our work, and share stories on how we use the justice system to end poverty. Now, here's your host, Nubia Willman.
Welcome to Legal Aid Matters. On this episode, we hear from Dan Lindsay, the Director for our Consumer Practice Group, and Martin Martinez, a VISTA at our Bankruptcy Help Desk. Today, they share how LAIF uses bankruptcy, one of the most powerful legal tools, to help clients struggling with debt.
Bankruptcy Help Desk.
And how many do we have, though?
We have one Bankruptcy Help Desk, and it's run at the Dirksen Federal Building.
Yeah, do you know how many other help desks that LAIF has or no?
I don't know how many other desks we have. I know we have several. I don't know exactly how many other ones we have, though.
So if someone comes to you and says, I need to go to this desk, you might not know.
I know that we have one inside the same building that I'm in. So we have the Hibbler Help Desk, which is also inside the Dirksen Federal Building. And they don't deal with bankruptcies, but they deal with other matters. So
whoever is on the program.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to have you two here, Dan. So
thank you.
Thank you both for being here. I'm here with
Martin Martinez,
who is a VISTA in our consumer practice group.
Yep.
And I'm here also with
Dan Lindsay,
who is our practice group director of the consumer group. So thank you both for being here today.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I gave a little bit of an introduction, but Martin, why don't you tell us a little bit about your role?
Yeah, so like I said, I started in July of this past year, and essentially the primary focus of our role is to coordinate the bankruptcy help desk, which is at Dirksen Federal Building. It operates as a first come, first serve basis. We see roughly 8 to 10 clients, and I work with 1 to 2 volunteer attorneys down there. So these are attorneys who have some experience in consumer bankruptcy law. And we essentially help clients fill out their bankruptcy forms, draft motions, or just kind of generally offer legal advice on whether it makes sense for them to file bankruptcy or what other options they might have available to them. So we kind of do a broad range of services there, and it's always busy. So the need is definitely there, and we all kind of the list always fills out. So it's definitely something that is being used. But
when you started, did you have experience in bankruptcy?
No, and it was interesting because I didn't really know what I was getting myself into.
Yeah.
With a lot of these, I think kind of with a lot of jobs, right? You don't really you read the description, the interviews and whatnot. But I'm kind of glad it's been eye opening in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think the bankruptcy issue presents itself uniquely in Chicago, and I think, and Dan can speak to this more, I'm sure. But kind of seeing how this whole ticketing issue that's been reported on a lot has come up. There's interesting stuff going on legally with Chapter 13s as well that I've got to see. So it's been both eye-opening, like from a legal standpoint, from a policy standpoint, and just kind of seeing how it socially kind of impacts different groups. It's been really interesting to kind of see all that play out. So it's definitely not something I'd experienced with, but it's something that I'm grateful for the opportunity to have to both be able to serve in this capacity and also to kind of experience kind of, you know, this area of the law a little bit.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. So, Dan, you obviously aren't manning the help desk because you're a practice group director. Can you tell us a little bit about the work you do, and then more specifically about the bankruptcy that the consumer practice group does?
Sure. So I've been at LAIF 20 years, and LAIF has done bankruptcies for its clients at some level or another for probably 30 or 40 years, which is fairly unusual for legal aid groups nationally. So it's been a really important kind of unique part of our practice. And in recent years, we've probably done more and more. And because of our expertise in doing bankruptcies for low-income folks, that was why about 10 years ago, we were asked to coordinate the bankruptcy help desk. Mm-hmm. So that became part of our overall work. And, you know, just to say a few words about bankruptcy without getting into too many specifics, it's really one of the most powerful legal tools that exists, arguably the most powerful tool, in the sense that it's the one thing that you can do that that just stops everything from happening. It's called the automatic stay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, somebody's about to take your house or your car or shut off your lights or turn off your water or evict you. Anything that's happening that a creditor is doing to take away something important from you, you can stop, at least temporarily. And depending on the circumstances, you know, you may be able to fix the problem long term. And then that sort of gets into whether you file a 7 or a 13. But it's a very powerful tool. You know, for the same reason, you know, I think of it like metaphorically, it's like an incredibly powerful weapon. Mm-hmm. And just like real weapons, they're also very dangerous. So you don't want to file bankruptcy willy-nilly. Mm-hmm. You don't want to do it out of ignorance or just because you heard it was the thing to do or you saw a TV ad, because it should be a last resort, and it can also be very risky and dangerous to your personal finances, yeah, to your personal credit history if you don't do it appropriately. So both in the clients that we work with here at LAF directly, and then in the clients that we're advising over at the help desk and that Martin is seeing, mm-hmm, every day the desk is open, we start with the fundamental question: why do you think you need to file bankruptcy? What, you know, is burdening you in terms of debt? So that we can help them make sure that they're filing it for the right reason, or maybe,
yeah,
hey, you really don't need to, or it'd be better if you waited, that kind of thing. So that's kind of where we start. But again, when you do file, it can solve a lot of problems. And when we file, you know, we successfully save people's homes, their cars, their jobs, their income, you know, things that are absolutely fundamental values to them.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I've heard from the other attorneys that practice in bankruptcy that this really helps preserve assets. And then in LAF, we view assets as very expansive, which can include saving a job. So can you talk about that? Like, how could your debt impact your employment a little bit?
Well, you know, Martin already mentioned one of the issues that is being presented routinely now and in new ways, mm-hmm, having to do with ticketing,
mm-hmm,
having to do with city tickets, which can quickly lead to the kind of debt that means your car gets booted, it gets towed, and now you don't have your car, mm-hmm, that you need to go to work to earn income. And in some ways, the city has kind of doubled down in the last couple of years and making it harder for people to get their cars back. Although interesting, more recently, they've implemented a new program that's intended to help some people more easily deal with ticketing, mm-hmm, through Chapter 7 if they have a lot of ticket debt, but maybe not so much that's recent, and they're able to pay off the last 3 years of their tickets. And so we're working in a lot of different contexts, both you know, fighting the city in cases all the way up to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, and then also help kind of working with the city to try to implement this new program, you know, in both cases, really to try to help people get their cars back that they need for jobs. And
also licenses. This is the other big one as well with,
yeah,
that. And I think, like you said, there's just something you need to get to work, to have a job.
Because of the ticketing, they're suspending the license, and so you might not.
And the automatic stay, which Dan mentioned earlier, that also helps lift, or helps debtors reinstate their licenses, which is huge.
Yeah.
And that's something we'll see, I'd say majority of the clients I see at the help desk, they have ticket debt,
mm-hmm,
and that's one of the main reasons why they're filing, or their license is suspended, and that's one of the main reasons for filing.
Is the ticket debt new, Dan? Is that, or has that always been a problem?
So, I think ticket debt has always been a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the city of Chicago has particularly gotten more aggressive in recent years in ticketing and in trying to collect, and then in impounding cars and holding on to cars. Because it sees it as a revenue generating,
mm-hmm,
policy. You know, Chicago, like so many municipalities around the country, are debt strapped themselves.
Yeah.
Maybe they could use bankruptcy. That's another story. But so they're looking for every way they can, right, to try,
yeah,
to collect more. And so they've been more aggressive about trying to collect. And part of what that's meant is this new policy that came into effect a year ago, where they're basically making new legal arguments that say to people who file bankruptcy, no, you don't get to get your car back unless,
mm,
you do a lot more and pay a lot more. They're making it a lot more difficult in Chapter 13s. again, to kind of balance that a little bit, you know, there have been some people at the city office that I think, you know, are well-intentioned and want to help more people and have established this new program on the Chapter 7 side, which is kind of the quick liquidation bankruptcy that doesn't involve a long-term payment plan. And in the 7s, again, they are offering the chance for some debtors, you know, to be able to pay sort of a smaller plan and deal with their ticket debt.
So can you actually just explain the difference between the chapter bankruptcies and in layman's terms?
Yeah, so 7 we often call liquidation. And I think most of the time when people say, I need to file a bankruptcy, they mean Chapter 7. That's kind of the one that says, take what little I have, and often it's nothing that's not protected because you get certain exemptions. They're not going to take every last penny. Take what little I have and then pay the creditors what you can and then discharge the rest.
Okay.
And it takes 3 to 4 months. And so you can discharge you know, credit cards and medical bills and what we call unsecured debt. You know, you can't discharge your home mortgage and keep your home. You can't discharge your car debt that you owe to the car company and keep your car. Those are secured debts. Those are different. But in a 7, you can at least get rid of most unsecured debt. Chapter 13, we call reorganization or repayment, restructuring. That is really much more challenging. It requires you to file a plan with the court. It requires you to have enough income to pay all of your monthly expenses on an ongoing basis and a little something extra. That little something extra is the sort of the surplus. So maybe if you have an income of $2,000 and your expenses are $1,800, that makes your surplus that $200 difference. And then that $200 becomes your plan payment that you have to pay to the court through the trustee for 3 to 5 years. And that will pay off some of your debt. And essentially, again, secured debt has to be paid in its entirety, but unsecured debt can be paid a very small fraction and the rest can be discharged. So that's really much more demanding and long-term, a 3 to 5 year plan for people that do have more resources.
Right. Yeah, it seemed like you'd have to at least have some type of stable income coming in to do the Chapter 13. And so is there, I'm assuming here in the agency we do both pretty frequently and it just depends on the client. Do you see a certain type at the desk?
Yeah, so initially we were seeing a lot of 13s when I first started here, and that was precise because what Dan talked about earlier, the ticketing issue and the essentially that was kind of the main way to get your car back if your car was impounded by the city of Chicago. It was kind of the only way to get the car back. Recently, the new Chicago Fresh Start program is what they call it. Is this basically a path for some people who had the car impounded by the city of Chicago or who had their license suspended to file Chapter 7 and get the car back and enter into a payment plan to pay back some of those ticket debts and have their older tickets waived by the city. So we've seen an uptick in 7s a little bit. It's still pretty new though. So it's hard to say. I'd say initially we were seeing a lot of 13s and maybe people maybe we shouldn't have been in 13s just because the city had taken this really aggressive stance. But it's probably about 50-50 now. Okay. I'd say roughly, right?
I think that's probably right. More or less.
Okay. Well, I want to talk a little bit about the kind of the emotional aspect of filing bankruptcy and what that means for the clients, but we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
This is Ashton Shelton, External Relations Coordinator here at LAF. Our work makes a difference in the lives of more than 30,000 Chicagoans living in poverty every year. We rely on your contributions to provide quality civil legal services to the most vulnerable members of our community. To support our work, please visit lafchicago.org/donate.
We ended up getting a lot of tickets, my husband and I, this past year, which was kind of out of nowhere. But the last one, and probably the one that hurt the most, was I went to go see Beyonce.
Oh.
And so I was at Soldier Field, and I was like, well, so smart, because like, I think parking at Soldier Field is like $50. And I was like, I parked easily a mile, maybe a mile and a half away, and I was like, we'll just walk from there, because like, you have to walk so far into Soldier Field anyway. Yeah. And I thought it was so smart. Come back, car had been ticketed. Because apparently during big events, you're not allowed to street park. Yeah, there was no signs anywhere. So I was like, and it was like $60. If you just paid the parking in Soldier Field, it would have been less. So I was like, this is my penance for getting to see Beyonce. Like, it's fine. My husband wasn't as thrilled, but I was like, it's worth it.
I got my first ticket actually a week ago, and I felt like I kind of was like baptized into Chicago. Like, you know, like now I'm officially in Chicago.
Yeah,
by,
exactly.
Yeah, getting the ticket.
You avoid tickets, Dan. You haven't got
any receipts. Well, I was going to say, I've had my car towed to the pound once.
Oh.
So I've actually been to Lower Wacker, which is where the pound is. And it was when I was, years ago, working at LAF and went to do an informal grievance hearing for a CHA resident who was being evicted. And I was running out of time, and so I just parked right next to the CHA building where it was at the time. And it was like 8 o'clock, and you didn't have to pay until 9. And I got out from the hearing at like 9:10, and my car was gone.
Oh, no.
And
wow.
It was a little note saying I could find it in the pound. I walked all the way across Chicago.
Oh, no.
Paid to get it out of the pound.
I hope we reimbursed you for that. We probably didn't.
I don't remember.
Real legal aid sacrifice here. Well, thank you. We're back at Legal Aid Matters. I'm here with Martin Martinez and Dan Lindsay, who are part of the Consumer Practice Group. And before we went on break, we were talking about the different types of bankruptcy and what the clients have to do and the best options for them. But I want to talk a little bit of just the kind of emotional aspects that comes with bankruptcy, because I know in most of the consumer issues, it deals with money, and when people usually talk about money and their own debts, there tends to be some feelings of shame or embarrassment. And is that something that you see with your clients, and how do you walk them through that?
Sometimes, you know, I can recall we've had, especially older clients, where it did make sense. It did seem to make sense for them to file bankruptcy. You know, we did the analysis and we taught them about filing. You know, but they were so reluctant because, you know, they were old school. They were traditional. They had been hardworking and responsible, you know, all their lives. And so now they've just faced some calamity or some circumstance beyond their control where they needed to file. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they felt some shame. You know, sometimes people attach like some moral stigma to it. And often, you know, we try to tell them, look, this is a right that is available to anyone under the law. It's actually one of the few legal rights or areas of the law mentioned in the United States Constitution, you know, back from 250 years ago in the 18th century. You know, Congress shall have the ability to pass laws to allow for bankruptcy relief. And so, you know, you try to tell them that and tell them it's just about getting a fresh start. The statute says it's a fresh start, but the honest but unfortunate debtor. Mm-hmm. And then you remind them that all these famous people and companies and developers and rich people have filed bankruptcy, you know, and normalize it for them.
Right.
You know, and usually if you can do that, that helps them kind of get to the place where they understand and they're willing to do it.
And I imagine when it is finally over with and done, and the, you know, credit card companies aren't calling and hounding, there's just so much relief when you're able to file it, so I'm sure.
And I think too, kind of dovetailing with that, on top of the stigmas, I think there's also just the stress of the situation, right? And I think when you're kind of on the margins of, you know, the economic situations, there's a lot of stress that weighs on these people, and I think that kind of compounds the stigmas and everything else that goes with it. So I think that's kind of one of the things I see the most at the help desk. It's an interesting setting, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're in this kind of relatively small room, and everyone in there is going through something tough. And it's the atmosphere is kind of heightened in that sense, right? You go in there and there's a lot of stress, and there's kind of everyone's going through similar things. People, you know, might be facing a home foreclosure, they maybe just lost their car, or maybe they just have someone, you know, credit card companies harassing them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also interesting too, at the same time too, and you might have experienced as well, sometimes you go down there, there's also some sense of camaraderie that the help desk almost fosters.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, we're all in this together, you know, like we all kind of were maybe dealt a bad hand, but now we know we have each other, we're here, we're taking the right steps to maybe, you know, get that fresh start.
Yeah.
And it sometimes it's kind of heartening for me when I'm there and I'm helping dealing with the client. I can hear in the background, like, someone saying, you know, you make sure you do your credit counseling course before you file, or, like, giving tips and advice maybe pitfalls that they fell into, like, helping the neighbor, you know?
Yeah.
So that's something I like to see sometimes when I'm down there. But it is definitely, I mean, the stress and the stigmas are things that come into play a lot of times.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the things I notice that doesn't necessarily happen in a lot of other, maybe in divorce, but not so much anymore, but definitely with the filing of bankruptcy. And you're right, they attach this, people in general attach this moral issue with debt and money, and it's so hard to overcome, but then people aren't able to preserve those rights when they don't enforce them. So it's great that the people that are able to then come to an understanding. And so, Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. Have you been doing bankruptcy specifically for 20 years, or what's a little bit of what you've been doing?
I mean, about, with a heavy focus on homeownership preservation, so I also do a lot of foreclosure defense work and other work, trying to help save people's homes. But again, that's also a large category of the bankruptcy cases that we file, so there's a lot of overlap there. And for sure, a lot of the most satisfying bankruptcy cases are ones where we save somebody's home. And that's both a home that somebody owns, and also some of our clients that have Section 8 vouchers or other subsidies, and they're living in subsidized housing and fall behind on their rent. But if they're able to catch up over time, we can do that through a bankruptcy. So we also are able to save that really important asset for people.
I want to talk a little bit about the foreclosure situation, because I started at LAF right in the midst of the middle of the recession in 2010.
Yeah.
And soon after, we had, you know, the big grant to save everyone's homes, and your group was a big, big part of that. And so how have things shifted since then? We're post-recession now, I guess.
So yeah, the foreclosure crisis has certainly ebbed. There's still plenty of foreclosures filed, and we still get plenty of clients calling for help in that area, but it's certainly not at the same level or volume that it was at that time. And then we were dealing with, yeah, just a lot of people that had lost their jobs and, were in wherever they had, and we did a lot of loan modification work as well as bankruptcies. It's kind of shifted, the foreclosure work has, to reverse foreclosures.
Mm-hmm.
So seniors who took out homes, or reverse mortgages on their homes, just because so many of those were transacted 10-ish years ago, they're now coming at a point where people are getting into trouble on those. These are home equity conversion mortgages where you don't pay a monthly amount. It's just the money that's coming out of your home. And then if you're older and when you do pass away or leave and go live in a nursing home or whatever, the loan comes due. But you do have to pay taxes and insurance, so people get tripped up and fall behind on those. Or then sometimes the husband dies, say, and the wife's left facing foreclosure, and we try to help them. And again, we do some of that work in foreclosure court and state court, and we do some of that work in bankruptcy as well. So that's kind of some of the changes in the foreclosure scene.
One of the patterns I'm picking up is what you mentioned, is that a lot of the people are generally living, you know, normal lives or making ends meet, and then something happens, like a death of a spouse or huge economic crisis or maybe a medical situation. And then suddenly they find themselves in this situation where they can't meet all their bills and their debt. What is something you would advise for people to try to do now? Obviously we can't prevent everything, but what is something that you would see as a proactive person to, like, try to really secure yourself to avoid this types of, you know, dilemmas in the future?
Well, you're right. It is a lot harder to deal with at the back end, you know. We work a lot with housing counseling agencies throughout the Chicagoland area, you know, and a number of them do really good work with people who are becoming homeowners and really doing educational programs to help people understand that when they want to become a homeowner, you know, there's just so much more involved than even being able to afford the home mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not just the mortgage, right? It's the taxes, it's the insurance, it's the utilities, it's the rainy day fund for when it rains and your roof leaks and you need to fix the roof.
Yeah.
And for all kinds of things. And yeah, when your hours are cut and suddenly your income's gone down, having a cushion. So there's really a lot of good front end educational work that people are doing and that can be done. I mean, at the back end, you know, when people do come in and they're facing stress about their home, about their mortgage, you know, one of the basic principles is still always, you know, don't bury your head in the sand. When you fall behind, you know, reach out to your mortgage company right away and let them know that you're falling behind and you want to know what are their options. There might be a loan modification. You know, there used to be more kind of robust loan modifications that went in place, that were put in place after the crisis. And some of those are gone, but there's still some options. And some companies will offer something, you know, just internally. So you want to see what those are and you want to try to avail yourself of that, those options as soon as possible. You know, don't bury your head in the sand. And fortunately in Illinois, the mortgage foreclosure process does take a minimum of about a year. So there is time if you sort of react quickly and at the beginning, you know, or reach out quickly and at the beginning to try to see what your options are. So just being proactive. And I guess, you know, I always say too, be proactive in the consumer area, whether it's with your home or whether it's considering filing bankruptcy. Don't just respond to the late night ads. Don't just respond to the company you see on the bus, side of the bus, right? Do your research, do your homework, find out where are places you can go, you know, that are well regarded. Or in many cases, like with housing counselors, that are, you know, nonprofits where you can get help for free.
No, that's really great. So, Martin, you mentioned at the beginning that your Vista ship is almost over. When is it over again?
End of July.
Okay, so we have you for a couple of
months. No, he's going to renew.
Renew.
Yeah.
What are your future plans? You mind sharing?
Yeah, so I plan to apply to law school. So that that's the plan. So I recently took the LSAT. I'll have another year before I apply. So I'll apply in the fall and then hopefully matriculate the year after that. So I think in the kind of interim, that year in between, I'll just kind of look to stay kind of involved in the sphere in one way or another and just kind of get some more experience, kind of try to figure out a little bit more about what I want to do long term and kind of what, you know, what a legal career for me would look like.
So have you enjoyed your time here at LAF?
No, it's been awful. Dan's really kind of been... No, it's been amazing. Yeah. It, like I said earlier, it's kind of, you never really know what you're getting yourself into, but it's been amazing to kind of see the work that's going on here and to kind of get to experience, you know, this side of things a little bit. I think LAF has a really unique atmosphere. In a lot of ways, you kind of, I think for the first, I remember my first week here, you know, it was a lot of like lows and highs and people were really friendly. It was just like, you know, you don't always get that.
You're on the 10th floor.
the 10th floor especially, right? So it's been awesome. I've really enjoyed my time here so far.
Well, that's great. I think we all are always very happy when people decide to pursue a career in the law. I'm sure the work you've done at the help desk will help you in the future. So we're really excited about that. And so I think we're almost out of time, so I just wanted to ask one more question, and I'll let Dan, you can take a crack at it, and this is what I ask everyone who comes to the show, and that is, why does legal aid matter to you?
Wow, and that's the last question. Well, I mean, I've been doing legal aid for pretty much my entire career. You know, went to law school knowing I wanted to do some type of public interest, didn't know what. And I think that I discovered in law school and in the years right after law school that just issues of poverty and economic injustice and economic inequality are the things that somehow just matter to me most deeply and get me most going, most upset, most passionate. And so it's been wonderful that has evolved into specifically a job, you know, in the area of consumer law, where we're trying to help people become more economically stable and you know, independent and trying to get little pieces of economic justice for people here and there where we can. You know, just the wealth gap just continues to grow, you know, in our country, in our world, and so people at the bottom end continue to get an even worse deal. And just fighting to try to help the people that we can and attack the issues we can, you know, within the larger legal aid arena is, to me, just the most satisfying thing I can do.
That's great. Well, thank you. I want to thank you both for being here today and giving us your time. And I think want to thank everyone else for listening. And we'll see you in the next episode of Legal Aid Matters.
This has been Legal Aid Matters. We're produced and edited by Ashlyn Shelton. Our music is by Poddington Bear. And our amazing host is Nubia Woman. Thank you for listening.